chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. What do you do when God gives you an assignment beyond what you can believe for at the time? Because he got a habit of doing that. Okay. So what do you do when God tells you to do something and it's beyond your present capacity to believe? And with the principles we already know and understand, only when I can believe is it possible for me. As I said, if you do not have the book Mental Toughness for Success, to have it in the bookstore, you need to get that. It is a more thorough teaching on this. I'm going to give you enough right now to fully equip you to walk in this. God is a God of order. And our belief system can be managed, yea, even stretched and expanded. And so there are processes, there's a whole process in the Word of God that the Spirit of God showed me years ago that I use even today. Now, if I can get your focused attention on this, this is about to change how you live, all right? In Romans chapter 7, verse 22, Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Paul is writing, and something jumps off the page as you read this. All right. It says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members." Everybody say law. "Warring against the law of my mind." That's what I want you to underline, law of my mind. "Bringing me into captivity the law of sin, which is in my members." Now, Paul here talks about law, a systematic way something operates. Now, contextually here, of course, we know he's talking about grace, the salvation piece. As we get illumination from this, he talks about the mind having a law, the law of my mind, meaning my mind functions a certain way. Your mind functions a certain way. So if I can understand how my mind functions, I can maximize my mental focus. Now, I did not get this from Og Mandingo. I did not get this from Tony Robbins. I did not get this in a psychology school, psychology class at school. The Holy Ghost taught me this, and I'm going to be able to show you biblical references for what I'm about to share with you. So we see the law of God, the law of sin, and the law of the mind. And the law suggests a systematic way that something functions. Now, when we think of the law of the mind, my believing takes place in my mind, in my heart, my believing. All right. When I choose to accept something as a fact, that's a process of the thoughts. Agreed? All right. Now, go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Because here we're going to see God do something with Abraham to elevate his ability to believe. Help me, Lord Jesus. Now, when we look over in Romans, and Abraham, you know, the Bible says he considered not his own body now dead. Now, that's the revised resume. That's not the way Abraham was in the beginning. So we pick up Abraham in his confused state. All right? Verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now watch this. Abraham don't sound like he's fully persuaded. In fact, he kind of hemming God up. What's up with this God? You talking about have this son? I'm getting older. And don't look like this. My servant's going to be the one that inherit everything I leave. Got it? He saw himself childless. Everybody say he saw himself. All right, now watch this. Verse 5. And God brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, or count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Watch this now, verse 6. And he believed. Wow. This guy goes from not believing to believing. Y'all getting this? I want you to see this. I want you to see this. He goes from Lord, I thought you said you're going to bless me. I thought you said you're going to do this. All I can see is Abraham, my Eliezer, he's the only heir I got. I ain't got no children. Then God said, okay, come here. Let me help you. And he takes him out and he says, now, look at the stars. And imagine a face of a child, as it were, on every star. So shall thy seed be. And something happened on the inside of him, and he believed. What God does for one in principle, he must do for another. All right now. So if God transformed Abraham, I'm about to shout right now. If he transformed Abraham's belief system with this, and I'm going to give you some other witnesses, then you got to understand your belief system can be expanded in similar fashion. Right? Now, because my mind functions a certain way, and it does it systematically, if I can crack this thing and understand this, I will develop the mechanics that it takes to expand my capacity to believe. Are y'all ready to go there with me? All right. Your belief system has been shaped by four factors. Write these down. Your environment. Number two, repetitious information that you receive. Number three, credible others, credible authority figures in your life. And number four, experiences. Vitally important. You got these? Number one was what class? Your environment. You think the way you think. You believe what you believe based on your environment, what you grew up around. Right? Number two, your belief system was shaped by what? Yeah, the way we have been engineered by God is that things that we hear repetitiously tend to influence what we believe. Now that is why during the political campaigns, it's amazing how they will continue to say a lie, knowing it's a lie, because they understand how people are wired. That if you continue to say a lie long enough, folk gonna believe it. Number three class. What? Credible other. Credible authority figures. We have been trained to believe that certain authority figures, whatever they say is true and we believe it. Our teachers, our parents, CNN. All right? Number four. Experiences. Now, experiences make the most potent impact on what you believe. The most potent impact on what you believe is the result of an experience. Now, we're going to want to hold that now. Now, when you come to Jesus, it is these four areas that the scripture says he wants to influence. He wants to impact. So when he comes, when you come to Jesus, first thing he says is, let me change your environment. Come out from among them. Got it? Then he wants to change the repetitious information that you hear. So he says, I want you to meditate in the word. Come on, y'all with me day and night. Why? Because I'm prone to believe what I hear on a repetitious basis. All right? Then he replaces the credible authorities in my life with the authority, which is his word. John 17, 17 says, thy word is truth. All right? The fourth thing is, as I walk with him, and the Bible teaches me that about living for him, I'll have experiences, and all of these reinforce my belief system in him. Are y'all getting this? All right, now, because, key statement, God must work within the framework of how he has engineered us to develop us. Ooh, Jesus. God must work within that framework of how he has engineered us to develop us. Now, that being said, we need to understand now how scripturally God goes about managing and working with my belief system. All right. Here's what God taught me. Three things I want you to write down. Everybody say an experience. Makes the most potent impact on what I believe. An experience makes the most potent impact on what I believe. All right, now let me illustrate this to you. Okay. If a manufacturer of this chair, I put this chair here, manufacturer of this chair walked through the door, has all of the engineering data and says this chair can hold the weight of a person in a seated position. It can hold the weight of any person in a seated position. Here's all the engineer's data. Here's the charts, graphs, blah, 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 blah. And then people go and sit in the chair. Got it? And it holds their weight. People even larger than you sit in the chair, and it sustains them and holds their weight. Then you go and sit in the chair, and it collapses under your weight. What are you prone to believe about the chair? That it can't hold your weight. Right? That it can't hold the weight. Because why? Your experience trumps all of the visible stuff you saw. Your experience trumps the argument of the engineer. Because an experience makes the most potent impact on what you believe. Once you have an experience, you are no longer at the mercy of anybody's argument. Now you gotta hold on to that, because I'm going to show you. An experience makes the most potent impact on what you believe. So that day in this little 5x5 closet office, that's God began to speak to me. Write these three things down. Number one, when we talk about the mental complex, there is, number one, the conscious mind. The conscious mind. Everybody say conscious. Yeah, the conscious mind is what I use to deliberately think through situations. My conscious mind. It handles things on a deliberate basis. Number two is the subconscious. Subconscious. Okay. So what do you do when God tells you to do something and it's beyond your present capacity to believe? And with the principles we already know and understand, only when I can believe is it possible for me. As I said, if you do not have the book Mental Toughness for Success, to have it in the bookstore, you need to get that. It is a more thorough teaching on this. I'm going to give you enough right now to fully equip you to walk in this. God is a God of order. And our belief system can be managed, yea, even stretched and expanded. And so there are processes, there's a whole process in the Word of God that the Spirit of God showed me years ago that I use even today. Now, if I can get your focused attention on this, this is about to change how you live, all right? In Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Paul is writing, and something jumps off the page as you read this. All right. It says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members." Everybody say law. Warring against the law of my mind. That's what I want you to underline, law of my mind. Bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, Paul here talks about law, a systematic way something operates. Now, contextually here, of course, we know he's talking about grace, the salvation piece. As we get illumination from this, he talks about the mind having a law, the law of my mind, meaning my mind functions a certain way. Your mind functions a certain way. So if I can understand how my mind functions, I can maximize my mental focus. Now, I did not get this from Og Mandingo. I did not get this from Tony Robbins. I did not get this in a psychology school, psychology class at school. The Holy Ghost taught me this, and I'm going to be able to show you biblical references for what I'm about to share with you. So we see the law of God, the law of sin, and the law of the mind. And the law suggests a systematic way that something functions. Now, when we think of the law of the mind, my believing takes place in my mind, in my heart, my believing. All right. When I choose to accept something as a fact, that's a process of the thoughts. Agreed? All right. Now, go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Because here we're going to see God do something with Abraham to elevate his ability to believe. Help me, Lord Jesus. Now, when we look over in Romans and Abraham, you know, the Bible says he considered not his own body now dead. That's the revised resume. That's not the way Abraham was in the beginning. So we pick up Abraham in his confused state. All right. Verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Now watch this. Abraham don't sound like he's fully persuaded. In fact, he kind of hemming God up. What's up with this, God? You tell me I have this son, I'm getting older. And I don't look like this, my servant's going to be the one that inherit everything I leave. Got it? He saw himself childless. Everybody say he saw himself. All right, now watch this. Verse 5. "And God brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars," or count the stars, "if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Watch this now. Verse 6. "And he believed." Wow. This guy goes from not believing to believing. Y'all getting this? I want you to see this. He goes from, "Lord, I thought you said you're going to bless me. I thought you said you're going to do this. All I can see is Abraham, and my Eliezer, he's the only heir I got. I ain't got no children." Then God says, "Okay, come here. Let me help you." And he takes him out and he says, "Now, look at the stars. And imagine a face of a child, as it were, on every star. So shall thy seed be. And something happened on the inside of him, and he believed. What God does for one in principle, he must do for another. All right, now. So if God transformed Abraham, I'm about to shout right now. If he transformed Abraham's belief system with this, and I'm going to give you some other witnesses, then you got to understand your belief system can be expanded in similar fashion. Right? Now, because my mind functions a certain way, and it does it systematically, if I can crack this thing and understand this, I will develop the mechanics that it takes to expand my capacity to believe. Are y'all ready to go there with me? All right. Your belief system has been shaped by four factors. Write these down. Your environment. Number two, repetitious information that you receive. Number three, credible others, credible authority figures in your life. And number four, experiences. Vitally important. You got these? Number one was what class?
Environment.
Your environment. You think the way you think. You believe what you believe based on your environment, what you grew up around. Right? Number two, your belief system was shaped by what? Yeah, the way we have been engineered by God is that things that we hear repetitiously tend to influence what we believe. Now, that is why during the political campaigns, it's amazing how they will continue to say a lie, knowing it's a lie, because they understand how people are wired. That if you continue to say a lie long enough, folk gonna believe it. Number three, class. What?
Credible
other. Credible authority figures. We have been trained to believe that certain authority figures, whatever they say is true and we believe it. Our teachers, our parents, CNN. All right? Number four.
Experiences.
Now, experiences make the most potent impact on what you believe. The most potent impact on what you believe is the result of an experience. Now, we're going to want to hold that now. Now, when you come to Jesus, it is these four areas that the scripture says he wants to influence. He wants to impact. So when he comes, when you come to Jesus, first thing he says is, let me change your environment. Come out from among them. Got it? Then he wants to change that repetitious information that you hear. So he says, I want you to meditate in the word. Come on, y'all with me day and night. Why? Because I'm prone to believe what I hear on a repetitious basis. All right? Then he replaces the credible authorities in my life with the authority, which is his word. John 17, 17 says, thy word is truth. All right? The fourth thing is, as I walk with him, and the Bible teaches me that about living for him, I'll have experiences, and all of these reinforce my belief system in him. Are y'all getting this? All right, now. Because, key statement, God must work within the framework of how he has engineered us to develop us. Ooh, Jesus. God must work within that framework of how he has engineered us to develop us. Now, that being said, we need to understand now how scripturally God goes about managing and working with my belief system. All right. Here's what God taught me. Three things I want you to write down. Everybody say an experience. Makes the most potent impact on what I believe. An experience. makes the most potent impact on what I believe. All right, now let me illustrate this to you. Okay. If a manufacturer of this chair, I put this chair here, manufacturer of this chair walked through the door, has all of the engineering data and says this chair can hold the weight of a person in a seated position. It can hold the weight of any person in a seated position. Here's all the engineer's data. Here's the charts, graphs, blah, 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 blah. And then people go and sit in the chair. Got it? And it holds their weight. People even larger than you sit in the chair, and it sustains them and holds their weight. Then you go and sit in the chair, and it collapses under your weight. What are you prone to believe about the chair? That it can't hold your weight, right? That it can't hold the weight, because why? Your experience trumps all of the visible stuff you saw. Your experience trumps the argument of the engineer, because an experience makes the most potent impact on what you believe. Once you have an experience, you are no longer at the mercy of anybody's argument. Now, you got to hold on to that, because I'm going to show you. An experience makes the most potent impact on what you believe. So that day in this little 5x5 closet office, that's God began to speak to me. Write these three things down. Number one, when we talk about the mental complex, there is, number one, the conscious mind. The conscious mind. Everybody say conscious. Yeah, the conscious mind is what I use to deliberately think through situations. My conscious mind. It handles things on a deliberate basis. Number two is the subconscious. Subconscious. To give me a spiritual experience that will impact what I believe. Everybody say a spiritual experience. Now, what do we say about experience? Experience makes the most. Talk back to me. Hold an impact on what I believe. An experience. When I experience something, I could care less about what anybody else says. I know that I know. All right? Now, in the human experience, there are three kinds of experience. In the human journey, let me say like that, there are three kinds of experiences that we have. Stay with me. Everybody say stay with me. All right? An experience has several components. Words, images, and emotions. Words, images, and emotions. Words, images, and emotions. All right? So there are three kinds of experiences you will have. Number one is a natural experience, something you physically go through. Number two is a soulish experience, something that takes place in the arena of the mind. A dream. You ever had a dream that seemed real? Somebody was chasing you, and right before they caught you, you woke up. You had not moved from the comfort of your bedroom, but you were perspiring. Because your belief system does not easily distinguish this between the kinds of experiences that you have. It really thought you, your belief system really thought you were being chased. Your heart's beating fast. Everybody said, the Lord talked to boy. The Lord talked to boy. I'm telling you. All right? A soulish experience can seem so real, but that thing happened on the inside of your mind. It didn't happen. Nobody was chasing you. So experience number one is a natural experience. Experience number two is a, all right, now experience number three is a spiritual experience. Everybody say spiritual experience. Now, there are two types of spiritual experience. One that God orchestrates, one that man orchestrates. When God wanted to transform a person's belief system, he gave them a spiritual experience called visions and dreams. Ezekiel was never really physically in the valley of dry bones. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord. Y'all, he was never physically there. But God needed to transform his belief system where he could preach a message of unity in his day where there was all kind of discord. So he gives them this spiritual experience where he sees himself preaching to disjointed bones, watching the word of God bring them together. And then God says, now you go and tell my people. If I say, stay with him, stay with him. Am I stretching you, brother? Watch this, watch this, watch this. He's got to transform Peter because Peter really don't want nobody to get the gospel but the Jews. So he puts Peter in this trance and he sees this sheep come down with all these beasts on it. Rise, kill and eat. Oh no, Lord, I don't eat nothing unclean. How dare you call some unclean that I cleansed? And he wakes up out of this spiritual experience, and who's knocking on the door? The people from Cornelius' house. Saying, go down there and preach that God wants you to come down to Cornelius' house. He gets to Cornelius' house. He says, I wouldn't even be here if I did not have had this vision. Because now I understand God is no respecter of person. I went to that preacher thing. I mean, shift over that preacher thing. This is the class. Let me get back down. Are you listening to me now? So I'm saying now, so what he does with Abraham is the same thing. He gives him this experience. And it shifts on the inside where he's able to accept it. Now, I told you there are two kinds of experiences. Spiritual experience. One that God initiates, but then the other one man initiates called meditation. Everybody say meditation. Meditation is where I use the canvas of my imagination to paint the reality of my future. And I see myself doing what God told me to do, having what God says I can have. And I do that repetitiously, and it's like my own personal Holy Ghost commercial. Until I believe. God, y'all getting this? Y'all getting it? Y'all really getting it? Okay. All right. So then he says, now you take the word and you meditate in the word. So whether it's a rhema word from God or whether it's the written word, I'm taking this word. And the Bible says, my tongue is as a pen of a ready writer. So as I began to open my mouth and say what God's word says, and I began to see it on the come to pass on the canvas of my imagination. I see my church field. Words, I got the words. Images, I allow the Holy Spirit on the canvas of my heart to see that thing come to pass. Emotions, I began to thank him for it. So I have created my own Holy Ghost commercial that I play repetitiously day and night. Madison Avenue understands this. So what they do is they give you a commercial and they play it over and over and over until you too want to be like Mike. Are y'all getting this now? I'm going somewhere with it. I'm not there yet, but I'm going somewhere with this. So Genesis chapter 11. Go there quickly. Genesis chapter 11. Are y'all getting blessed out of this? Okay, Genesis chapter 11. Huh? Verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one and they have all one language. And this they began to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Everybody say imagination. Yeah, my imagination needs the stimulation of successful others. God tells Joshua, meditate in the word day and night. Thou may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Everybody say meditation. Okay. Now, when we talk about meditation, God told me, number one, there's verbalization, saying it out of my mouth. But number two, and most important, is visualization. Everybody say, stay with him. Okay. Now with Abraham, the visual booster was the stars. Okay. With Joshua, it was the relationship he saw with Moses. Okay. As I was with Moses. Come on, Claire. So shall I be with you. Now, what is he doing? He says now, Joshua, you need to see yourself in the same light you saw Moses. What I did for Moses, I'll do for you. How Moses stood is the way you need to stand. How Moses administered, that's how you need to do it. Because as I was with Moses, he gives him a reference. Everybody say a reference. Okay. With Jacob, he used the same principle to cause Jacob to go from rags to riches. Jacob had worked for Laban all this time, and Laban had messed over him. And then Jacob gets this creative idea that he will now work on commission, and he will take all of the solid cows and care for them, and all the spotted speckled cows that Laban already has, he will take them several days' journey. And then what he does is, for a visual booster, he takes poplar trees and he places them before the watering trough, and he peels back the bark until they look like the hides of the kind of cows he wants produced. Are y'all listening to him? And because normally, genetically speaking, solid cows produce, talk back to me, solid cows. So Laban really thinks this boy is crazy. This boy tells me he's going to take care of all my solid cows, and his wages will be only the spotted and speckled and ring straight cows that are produced. Laban said, this boy's stupider than I thought he was. But hey, Jacob, that's wonderful. I mean, he's trying to get over on the boy.
Right, right.
But now God has taught him a principle of meditation. Because when you read the scripture, as the cows made it by the watering trough, Jacob has a reference of the kind of hides he wants produced. He's meditating, seeing these cows bringing forth spotted and speckled. The miracle occurs not because of what the cows saw, but because of what Jacob saw. How you know that? Because Jacob says, an angel told me. An angel gave me these instructions. The angel told me to do this because all visualization must have a reference. I know what I know because of what I have known. Where there is clarity of vision, there is acceleration toward the known goal. Have you ever been driving, knowing where you were going, but the fog was there? So you had to slow down intentionally because you couldn't see. But the clearer you saw, the faster you can get there. Lord, help me today. Are you listening to me? So what God taught me to do, oh my God. Hey, what God taught me to do, I got this little old raggedy build and everybody laughing at me. God says, now what I want you to do now, the biggest church in the city at that time was First Baptist Church. John Bassanio was the pastor. He had built a 3,000 seater. He says, I want you to go and sit there on a regular basis. And while you're sitting there, imagine you preaching in a place this size. See the place filled. And see folk walking down the aisle, giving their hearts to the Lord Jesus. Because when I start doing that, I would go over there so often. You know, they see me in there. They don't know what they thought. I was just in there praying. They go on, go on. Now, I'm in there meditating, but I got to have this reference. I'm seeing myself preaching to thousands. I'm seeing thousands getting saved when I'm seeing that. And experience makes the most potent impact on what I believe. I'm intentionally creating a spiritual experience which my belief system bought into. Jesus.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now I am totally changed. Hey, glory to God. I got a little old rag in the church, but I'm pregnant on the inside. I should be teaching anymore. I am pregnant on the inside because I have conceived. No, I like it better. Way. Are y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
I could believe that I could go from that little raggedy place with everybody laughing at me. I could believe I could preach to thousands. Because I'm meditating on this thing. Oh, what's happened? I have readjusted my comfort level. I really believe I'm supposed to be preaching to thousands. So guess what? My comfort level is up here now. So now my mental process goes to work. Because I can't stay here. That ain't where I am. I'm here. So now I begin to function at a higher level. Are y'all getting it? My awareness changes. My awareness changes because now, since multitudes is important to me, then now I began to spot things in my environment that's going to lead me to, y'all getting this? Everybody say verbalization, visualization, internalization. Set your affections. My praise. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the multitudes. So I've got my own commercial now. My belief system is bought into this thing. I'm totally changed. Everybody wonder, how are you so happy with that little raggedy building over there? No, you understand. I have just been visiting my future on the canvas of my imagination. And I knew it wasn't going to be long. I didn't know how, but I knew. I was on my way. God taught me to use this principle. So when I got ready to believe for a helicopter, I don't know about no helicopter. So what I do is, I take the Jacob principle. I go and buy helicopter pictures. And I put them all around me. So when I get up in the morning, I'm looking at helicopters. I'm communicating to my belief systems. Helicopters are important.
Yes,
now, the success gurus tell people to put their dream board, their vision board. They late. I got this from the word. Are you listening to me? And so, I'm all of a sudden one day, I'm going fishing. And this place I have driven by many times. It's the way I go fishing. Helicopter services. I've driven by a bunch of times. But until I communicated to my belief system, this was important. It could not pick out this asset in my environment. Are y'all listening to me? So I pull on in there and I talk to this guy. This guy is Robin. What's his name? Robin Simpson. Robin Simpson. And here's a helicopter there. I mean, I've seen them from afar. I've seen them on pictures. But I never sat in one. I said, can I sit in your helicopter? He said, yeah. I sat there. Oh, man. I'm imagining I can have one of these. So I started talking to him about it. And boy, he was real favorable. And so he said, you said, Pastor, before you buy one, you just need to rent one. I said, that's a good idea. What did it cost to rent one? Well, that's believable. And so we rented one. I'm flying in a helicopter. I can get used to this. Are you listening to me? And y'all know the rest is history. Got it? Same thing with when we bought the jet. God told me. I tell you, God told me about the jet. He said, son, your itinerary is about to increase to the point where you're going to need a jet. I want you to go buy a jet now. And I'm going, come on, God. don't want to buy no jet. First of all, the people persecute me about the helicopter. I'm just getting over the helicopter persecution. Nah, I ain't going to buy a jet. I don't know nothing about no jet. Then I ain't got no appointments. I don't have any appointments. God, come on now. So, you know, when you act stupid with God, he just don't say nothing. He got to convince you. He don't say nothing. So then I was talking to him, and I said, well, God, I mean, you know, my itinerary. He said, well, if Noah had waited until he saw rain, it would have been too late. Okay, now, I got to believe beyond where I am right now, because, man, I ain't understand jets. I mean, jets are jets. That's serious, you understand? So what I'm going to do, follow my process. Find me pictures of jets. Start putting them up around me. Then people start crossing my path talking about jets. Robin Simpson start talking to me about jets. I start learning about jets. And then I could believe for jet. I saw myself flying to my appointment that I didn't have. Getting off my own jet. Now, when I bought jet years ago, it wasn't that many preachers, especially preachers of color who had a jet. Follow me? And I saw myself doing it. I saw it. And then we found a jet. I signed the contract with no appointments. Obeying God. And the next day, my phone started ringing. And it hadn't stopped since then. I cannot really go to all of the places that want me to come to this day. I use the same principle. Same principle when we had a desire to build the retreat center. I had a model of it, a scale model of it built. And it was one of those models where you could take the roof off. And I had it in my bedroom. And Lady Bridget and I, every day and night, we'd go and look at that baby. See ourselves living in a 33,000 square foot place. Are you listening to me? What am I doing? I'm transforming my ability to believe. We've visited nice houses and big houses, and we walked in them. Because we believe we can live like this. I'm doing something on purpose. I ain't daydreaming. I understand now how to transform my belief system. Because where there's clarity of vision, there's acceleration. So I'm using a reference. I got to have a reference. Follow me? That's why I tell all the preachers, on Easter, when your church is full, take a picture. Most of us, we can get a crowd on Easter, folk come. Take a picture. Let that picture be the one you put up. Because you need to cause your belief system to accept that as a fact. Are y'all getting this? Because to the degree that I will do this, it will transform me on the inside. Y'all getting this? Everybody say words, images, and emotions. All right, so there's verbalization, there's visualization, there's internalization with my praise, and then there's the manifestation. It comes to pass. It comes to pass through favor. It comes to pass through God ordering our steps. It comes to pass. And then there's the vindication. Everybody say vindication. All of those who are good and all of those who mocked you, their mouths will be closed. And, I mean, it was a God thing. But you see, you have to build people around you in decision-making positions who think faith and who can bridle their tongues. Are y'all listening to me? Okay. So here's John chapter, what did I tell you? One. All right. Verse, I think it's 19. Oh, yeah. Well, verse 2, I go to verse 1. And they ask him, what then? Who art thou, Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, no. They said unto him, and then said they unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? What you say about yourself? Now look what he said. He could have said, I am the son of Elizabeth and Zacharias. That would have been correct, right? But look what he says. He says what the word of God says. I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So Isaiah. Now what is he saying? He chose to say what the word of God said about him. Got it? He could have said, I'm Zacharias' boy. I'm Elizabeth's boy. But no, he didn't say that. He said what the word says. You have to learn to say what the word of God says about yourself. Don't matter if people mock you. They won't mock you long when they start seeing stuff come to pass. Well, they may start hating on you. I can't tell you they ain't going to hate on you, but they ain't going to stop nothing because he didn't say I'll have what they say. He said I'll have what I say. All right? So then, I think what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take you now, and we're going to break in 5 minutes. Let me just whet your appetite. Because this next thing I'm gonna give you is gonna stretch. Everybody say stretch. Had a brother who used to had an older brother who used to wear my T-shirt. I always knew when he put it on because it was stretched. When something is stretched, it never goes back to what it originally was. This next point, I'm getting ready to stretch it. I'm going to show you someone. My church was so small. I guess it would fit maybe. Oh, my God. I'll go over here. Oh, maybe the whole church about this section. Bridget said, no, don't even try it. Maybe a third of this section, about a third of this section. That was my whole church, including the bathroom. I had a 5x5 closet that was converted to my office. I had been through a church fight, and God, I'll tell you about that later. But so I'm really the laughing stock of the city. Preachers, you know, I used to really pull it and hoop and squall and that kind of stuff, and guys get jealous of it, you know. So they was happy to see me have the church fight and go through all of that. And they said, "Well, he can preach, but he can't pastor." That was, and they would bring people by my little raggedy church. That's where he is over there. And I was in a defeated point in my life, really, really defeated. And in this 5x5 office, and when you think 5x5, I'm serious. It was a closet. I had a half a desk. Yeah, we really literally saw the desk in half, put that baby up against the wall. Enough room for me to walk by, okay? And my chair. And if you want to talk to him, you had to sit outside the door. You had to stand outside the door. That was the pastor's office. Okay? Now, God is talking to me. First, I had to repent because I had done the people. I got up one Sunday and oh man, I won't go through all of that. Okay. Well, anyway, I'd gone through a church fight. They took me to court. I won in court. Come back the next Sunday. Told them all off. Fired the deacons publicly. Just embarrassed the people. Go to my study. God tells me, now, what is that? what you call that? I said, well, I set the house in order. He said, no. They were my people. They did you wrong, but you had no right to do that. Now you get your stuff and go. So I'm leaving. He fires me. I asked him for another chance. Thank God he gave me another chance. But I go down the street here, and I got this little old raggedy building, man, and I hate these people because these people put me through all this stuff. I'm hating them. I hate their guts. I want them to die, their children to die, something like that. Y'all laughing at me. You ain't been where I've been. God comes to me, has me repent. He said, I want great, great things for you, son. I can't use you with your heart like that. He taught me how to forgive, and then he taught me how to erase the pain of the past. And then God gave me this revelation on expanding your capacity to believe. It was in that little place that God gave me a revelational meditation that I'm going to teach you when we come back on how you can go from the ghetto, a ghetto mentality, to the mentality I have today. And whatever I believe for today, I use this same process. Now, if you don't have the book Mental Toughness for Success, I don't know if they have it over there, but you need to get. How many of you have ever read Mental Toughness? Okay, I got a few of y'all read Mental Toughness. You got to read Mental Toughness for success. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to teach you that principle in just a moment, because it is a principle that you're going to use to get to the next level. When you understand this principle and how powerful it is, yet simple, you'll understand how to take it and bless your family, bless your church. I'm telling you, and it's what God taught me. When God taught me the principle, I wrote it down. I wrote the book. And he said, don't publish it until you got the proof. So I kept the manuscript for several years until things manifested. And I put pictures in it. And that's the only book I have with a lot of focal pictures in it, because God told me to wait until I had the proof. It's what I live by today. When God gives me an assignment, there's a process that I use. You can use the same process. It will produce in an amazing way for you.